The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This was the show we were supposed to do Monday when I had a power outage in the studio, so I couldn't do it. And we're going to be talking today with my friend, I like to call him my colleague, and the author of the Anthony Roberts blog, Anthony Roberts. How you doing, Anthony?
How's it going, Carl?
Great, great. You've got a lot of good stories going on the blog. We're actually going to be talking about a couple that aren't on the blog as well today. This is going to be a little bit of a variety show, I like to think. So, first of all, before we get started discussing the stories at hand, what's new? What's going on with you?
Actually, just got my blog back up. We got hit with like a not really a malicious virus, I don't think. Someone told me they had to, you know, reboot their whole computer, but we just got through some kind of annoying adware, and that wrapped me up for a few days, and I've just been buried in research as a result.
I always wondered how they put that adware up on servers. It's got to take a lot of sophistication to do that. I mean, I've seen that happen before, where you visit a totally legitimate website, and all of a sudden your virus protection goes, you know, something is being downloaded. It's like, what? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, you know what it is? It was probably just guys who have an account with a bunch of different sites, you know, pay-per-click stuff, and instead of legitimately promoting the site, they install these, you know, adware bots or adware viruses on people's pages. Maybe they're exploiting WordPress or whatever, and they just get, you know, insane amounts of hits, and probably eventually the people find out that it's, you know, illegitimate and get rid of them, but not before I'm sure they've gotten a couple, you know, paychecks.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so let's talk about this. Football season is upon us, correct?
Come again?
Football season. Football, okay. And of course, something that we actually, you and I, we kind of broached this discussion. How many years ago did we do the IGF-1 Long R3 show? That had to be 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The one where the NC2A reached out to me and thought it was terrible that I did this show, and they tried to posture like they had a test, but they weren't publicizing it because they didn't want athletes to know. And you and I both talked about this in private, and we said, they're full of baloney. There's no way to really successfully test for IGF-1. And now here we go again. The NFL is threatening to test players for human growth hormone. How the hell can they do it? How can you test for growth hormone?
You know, I mean, it's difficult. They've been trying for a long time. They had a guy, and I think the project was called GH2000. Like, if you go, you know, look it up, you have this guy. And he came out and said, look, I have a test. It's 100% accurate, and it tests growth hormone up to 2 weeks after someone uses it. Now, you know, he's published a ton of journal articles. That's not what the NFL is using. I mean, for one reason or another, and the guy that came up with this original test, which, you know, was never used, this guy claims it was all this big, you know, political thing, and, you know.
I'm not the brightest bulb in the bunch, and the truth of the matter is a lot of what I've learned through this show. But I don't believe that you can test for growth hormone 2 weeks after, because what about the natural pulsatile production of growth hormone in your body? If you're using a growth hormone that's 191 amino acids, is it going to look different than the 191 amino acid growth hormone you produce yourself?
No, it's not. I mean, these guys really, you know, they really have to be, you know, Johnny on the spot and catch a guy very quickly after he's injected, you know?
Yeah, because growth hormone has a very short half-life in the body, correct?
Yeah, and they also have to account for, like, let's say they want to test someone, you know, they go to his house. I mean, he can literally walk out and say, I just worked out.
Hey, I have a spike in growth hormone.
I just worked out. Sorry, you know, it's going to screw your test up. And they can't test people after training sessions.
And IGF-1 levels are unreliable indicators of growth hormone, because we know that you can raise IGF-1 levels by drinking a gallon of milk a day.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of, you know, other stuff. So it just doesn't seem like they're going to be able to do it. And if you really look at, you know, you'll read something, you know, from, let's say, WADA, and they'll say, you know, growth hormone use is a tremendous amount of growth hormone use. It's widespread. You know, it's epidemic.
Right.
And then they'll say, we have a test. It's perfected. And then the next thing they say is, you know, in, you know, 4 years, we've caught two guys.
Yeah, so only two guys are using.
Well, you have to go back and say, all right, well, at what point were you wrong? Are you wrong that your test is
reliable?
Reliable, or are you wrong that this is an epidemic situation? Because you can't be right about both.
Yeah. It's my understanding from conversations that I've had with Dr. Mark Gordon, especially, who is the keynote speaker about growth hormone at many of the A4M conventions, that the only reliable way to test for growth hormone, and I'm talking about to truly test for growth hormone, not markers that elevate when growth hormone goes up, so they're indirectly relevant to growth hormone, because there's lots of those. Growth binding protein 3, IGF-1,
yep.
You know, okay. But to truly test for growth hormone, the only way to test for it, because it has such a short half-life and because it's so pulsatile in nature, is to do a 24-hour urine collection. That's the only way. And then look for the metabolites of growth hormone in the urine to accumulate. And then that's the only way you can say, wow, this guy produced, you know, twice as much as the average human produces. And then you have these other confounding things like, well, does he work out? Yeah, he does. He works out like an animal. Well, that could be why. You know, it's like, so I think the whole idea of testing for growth hormone is a waste of time. And I don't believe the NFL has anything to test for growth hormone.
Well, let's look at the two positive tests that they have, right?
Okay.
So you have, it was a rugby league player. Right, he was a hook playing in England.
Right.
He stored his growth hormone in his garage.
In the refrigerator in his garage.
No, in his garage behind like some, you know,
motor oil.
Rubbish,
behind some motor oil.
What's that?
Behind some motor oil.
Yeah, he stored his growth hormone in his garage, and he said, you know, I assumed that was cool enough.
Now, so theoretically, after about the first month, he didn't have growth hormone anymore.
Yeah, I mean, how long can you leave it? How long can you leave a vial out? He was doing a 5-on, 2-off, so it was unrefrigerated for after he did the first shot and, you know, reconstituted. It was unrefrigerated for 24 hours till his next shot. You can't just leave growth hormone out. It's, you know.
Well, even the lyophilized powder has to be frozen. He was leaving that in the garage as well, which means by the time he reconstituted the second or third bottle, it was no longer growth hormone that he was reconstituting.
Yeah, it baffles the mind that you know, he tested positive. I think it was some kind of fluke. I think if he had challenged the test, we would have, you know, something to go on. He never challenged the test. He just kind of said, all right, whatever, and kind of spiraled out of control. He ended up actually committing suicide.
Wow, that's sad. Because of the loss of his career?
Yeah, because WADA is draconian. WADA, first-time offense, is 2-year ban.
Yeah, so that's it. You're not an athlete anymore. If you get banned for 2 years, you're out of the game.
Unless you're maybe in your early 20s. You know, and the way it's worded is, I don't believe you're supposed to.
I got a feeling he didn't commit suicide because he got caught. I got a feeling he committed suicide because he was wrongfully accused. I got to believe that. I don't believe that a guy who's using growth hormone, you know, just going from what we're talking about here, a guy who's using growth hormone that's kept at room temperature, it's no longer growth hormone. The peptide degrades. And they must have known he was using growth hormone. They set him up.
That's okay. So that brings us to the second test, right? The second positive was a Canadian football player, okay, who they had prior knowledge was buying growth hormone, right?
Right.
So in other words, they busted this guy's dealer, right, who was also on the football team. This is the, you know, Waterloo, I think, who they all got suspended. Like, you know, half the team was, you know, found using.
Right.
But what they did was they took this guy and they said, yeah, we got a positive result. But they knew he was taking growth hormone already.
Right.
He admitted it before the test. You know, they caught his dealer. His dealer said, I sold this guy growth hormone. And they walked away with, like, a feather in their cap. Oh, we got a positive test. And, you know, wasn't contested because he was already ratted out. He already admitted it. So those are the two positive tests that we're stuck with.
Right.
You know, so I don't put a lot of, you know, a lot of stock in them, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, back in the days of the Egyptians, they used. I know this doesn't sound like it makes any sense to what we're talking about, but back in the days of the Egyptians, they had a lie detector test. You know what it was?
What's that?
They take a donkey and put a person in a dark room with a donkey and tell them to hold the donkey's tail, and if they answered with a lie, the donkey would bray. Is that the right term? The donkey's the noise they make, a bray.
Yes.
And if they told the truth, the donkey would not bray. And then they coated the donkey's tail with charcoal. So they would put you in the room, the dark room with the donkey.
I see where you're going.
And if you didn't hold the donkey's tail, they knew you were afraid of lying. And when you came out, if you'd have charcoal on your hand, they would say, you lied. And they'd go, how do you know? How do you know? The point I'm trying to bring out is the approach of going to somebody who you know is using and then fabricating a test to just kind of get them to cave in, if you will, is different than actually randomly selecting people and finding out that they're using. And I come back to my original statement. There is no way to test for growth hormone use, abuse, whatever you want to call it, in sports. It's the safest thing. IGF-1, MGF, and growth hormone are the safest things for athletes to use. There's no way to test for them unless they give you a 24-hour. If they go to every football player and say, here's a bag, piss in it for 24 hours, and then bring it back, unless that's supervised, again, there's no way to test because the football player is going to get home. He's going to ask his brother-in-law, hey, have you used growth hormone? No. Piss in this for me. Okay. Carry it around for the next 24 hours. I'll give you $10,000. Okay. And then you bring that in.
Yeah. No, I'm – well – yeah, you had me a donkey.
Yeah, you had me a donkey.
Well, you know, if you look at, right, people say, well, there's been a dozen positive tests, right? And when we look at them, right, we find, like, all of them are what we call, you know, non-analytic positives.
Right.
So Jason Giambi, he admitted it. Jeremy Giambi admitted it. You know, Jason Grimsley, Rodney Harrison, you know, David Segway. All of these guys... Or they, you know, one guy, you know, they had the Rodney Harrison admitted it to federal, you know, investigators, and you know, Eric Agnew was named the Mitchell Report, and you know, one guy they had shipments, you know, from Signature or something. So like all these positives, when we break them down, we have one guy who probably wasn't, you know, using valid, you know, growth hormone. We have another guy who they knew in advance, and then a ton of guys who just admitted it without being tested.
Right.
That's their hand.
The NFL adopt my suggestion. I say you get a donkey, you put the football player in a dark room, you tell him to grab the donkey's tail, and if the donkey brays, he's using growth hormone, and all the guys who come out without any charcoal on their hands, they're using. That's it. That's a more reliable test. What's that?
It'd be more accurate than what they're trying.
Yeah, that's okay. Be a more reliable test. They need to do that instead.
It's ridiculous.
All right, look, we got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about deer antler spray. You know, deer antler has been around forever. I remember it was popularized by Steven Seagal. He's been a big proponent of deer antler and a lot of other Chinese medicines for raising testosterone. And apparently it's back in the news. I'm going to have Anthony Roberts fill us in about that. You can read Anthony's blog by going to anthonyroberts.info. It's a great blog. It really, really is. You should read it. We'll be right back. I was afraid of what might be. Hiding in the dark and hiding on the street. Kind of walking, following me. Oh, oh.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain. The case against creatine starts now. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike. MAHLER.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're doing a variety show today with my friend Anthony Roberts. Much of this stuff derived from his blog, some of it not. Okay. Deer antler spray has been around for a long time. It's made from the velvet of deer antler, which is a, for those of us who used to hunt or still hunt, you know that during the early season, or what is known as the rutting season, when deers are mating, they have a velvet on their antlers that they work very hard to rub off by banging them against trees and clicking them against things and so on. This velvet, as it's called, is actually has a large vascular component, and it's actually a result of the antlers growing, because antlers fall off every year and then resprout on a deer's head. So with that being said, I guess traditional Chinese medicine has embraced deer antler velvet for its ability to raise testosterone levels, right? Anthony, that's the premise behind deer antler velvet, right?
You know, the premise, as far as I understand it, is to increase IGF levels.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. You're exactly right. Actually, it's deer penis that raises testosterone levels, believe it or not. Powdered deer penis, but that's a whole different thing, traditional Chinese medicine. But yes, you're right. It's supposed to raise IGF-1 levels, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So then
there was this company, right, and they were called SWATS. Okay, sports with alternatives to steroids, and then they had this little tagline, athletes competing without cheating.
Mm.
And they billed themselves as a Christian, supplement company or whatever.
Right.
Okay. So they were marketing Ultimate Sports Spray.
Okay.
That's what they call it. That was their deer antler spray.
Okay.
And what happened was a linebacker from the St. Louis Rams, David Vibora, tested positive for a prohibited substance from taking, this product.
Okay. So did he say that? Did he say, well, the only thing I'm taking is this deer antler spray?
Yes. Then he actually sent it in to be analyzed and then, purchased an open bottle and had it sent directly to the lab to be analyzed as well.
That was smart. Okay.
Yeah.
And so lo and behold, what did they find in deer antler spray?
They found methyl testosterone, which is what he tested positive for.
And everyone knows that methyl testosterone is a naturally occurring compound in nature, right?
Yeah, testosterone is, they tried to make that argument that, testosterone is found in nature, but obviously the methylated form, where a methyl group has been added to prevent degradation by the liver and allow it to get into the bloodstream through the first pass metabolism, the methylated version is not found in nature. That's a man-made thing.
Did anybody bother to buy and test some other bottles besides the one that he sent in?
Well, it's interesting because you have Major League Baseball and the NFL all saying, don't take deer antler spray. You'll test positive for methyl testosterone. That's not the case. The case is that don't take this brand, which has likely been purposely spiked with methyl testosterone. The company just filed bankruptcy and did a runner.
Oh, really?
They didn't, it's not like they're going to, he sued and won like $5 million plus dollars.
Right.
But they just declared bankruptcy like halfway through the lawsuit and said, all right, there's nothing to take from us.
We're done.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, he proved to everyone that he wasn't intentionally doping, but, now you have everyone, from Sports Illustrated to ESPN saying, don't take deer antler spray. It's got, methyl testosterone or trying to talk about the IGF thing. It doesn't contain, methyl testosterone. And, if it weren't adulterated, and the idea of it doing something to, increase your IGF, that really hasn't been established.
That it works, you mean?
Yeah, it hasn't been established to, or shown in any sort of reputable studies to, to boost IGF-1 levels.
I find it interesting. Did the company come out and make a statement like, well, we got hoodwinked, we bought our powder from China, which is usually what they always say, things like that,
You know what? They didn't, and I've been working pretty hard to find the owner of the company's name. I haven't stumbled across it, and the sites are registered, to the company itself, and his name isn't in the court documents.
Because you want to interview him, I take it?
Because I think this is a guy who's done this before. I don't think this was a mistake. If it's who I'm thinking, it's a guy who's done this before, it's a guy who remains in the industry, and it's a guy who has a bunch of very shady websites and has a very checkered past. I did some research and tried to dig up who it is and found some connection to who I was thinking, but not enough to put out there yet.
Was it you who told me about this, or was this something in a movie? Sometimes the synapses in my brain, they kind of meld together, and reality and fiction kind of blend. And I think, gee, did someone tell me about this, or was this something I saw in a movie? Companies spiking supplements in capsules, but putting the spike in the capsule, not in the powder.
On the actual coating of the capsule.
Okay, so it was you that told me about this, right? Yeah, so in other words, when the FDA or somebody who's going to test it, they crack the capsule open, they pour the powder out, they go, no, there's nothing in this. This is all good. But actually, the capsule is what was spiked itself.
The capsule itself, yeah, on the gel coating, on the outside, they'll spray it with, with the compound, lightly spray it with whatever it is they're trying to dope the pill with. And usually it would be something, obviously, that works in very, very low doses. I mean, you could think of a testosterone booster, for example, and they could perhaps use something like letrozole that works in microgram amounts.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So it would have to be something to that effect. It could be some sort of amphetamine that works in low doses.
Yeah, like Clen, which, you know, you take microgram doses.
Yeah, micrograms of Clen, right. So that would work.
When did that actually happen? Was this something you discovered in a story, or did you hear about this kind of through the grapevine that that's what goes on?
Matter of fact, T.C. Luoma from T Nation.
Right.
Actually told me about it.
Did he tell you about an exact occurrence, or is this just kind of like urban lore that this can be done?
No, like he stated his fact, and he actually put it in an article, but he didn't tell me. He couldn't remember what company it was.
Right.
But I mean, when you look at, you know, if you look at the deer antler thing, and you look at, you know, the research just shows it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't have any sort of, you know, hormonal response in athletes. It doesn't, you know, create any sort of ergogenic effect. And these are, you know, published studies.
Right.
So, you know, when people come out and try and, you know, say that it does something, I mean, it's been studied. It's been pretty much proven not to work. There's no study showing it works. There's multiple studies showing it doesn't. And if you look at the quote-unquote study that people say, you know, shows that it works, it wasn't published in a credible peer-reviewed journal.
Right.
It was funded by a company selling, the antler.
Right.
And the research was done by, and this is sort of poisoning the well, but a guy who, at his university, was sued by 5 graduate students for sexual harassment at the Rhodes University.
Well, it wasn't his fault. It was because the deer antler spray gave him too much of a libido. He couldn't control it. That's what it was.
The deer penis, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Now, Anthony, how long did this particular player use the deer antler spray before he got called on the carpet? Any news on that?
You know what? I actually don't know how long he'd been using it. But there were a lot of professional athletes, you know, that were like endorsing the stuff, saying, yeah, this stuff is great. And
I got stronger. I feel better. Sure. Methyl
test. I mean, if you take methyl testosterone before a workout, you know, you are going to get, you know, some sort of strength boost and some increased aggression in the gym and
right.
better workouts.
Right. Now, Anthony, this company had been in business for a while or just for months, this SWAT?
For a while, actually.
So I'm wondering, obviously, the player that tested positive was absolved of any wrongdoing because he was hoodwinked as well, correct?
Well, no, that's not the way it works. If you take a tainted supplement, I mean, sometimes you can, on appeal, you can go back and say, listen, you know, I didn't know this was in there, and sometimes they'll reduce, you know, WADA. Now, remember, the NFL is not a signatory to the World Anti-Doping Code.
Right.
Okay, so they suspend players for 4 games. They don't suspend players for 2 years. Now,
right.
In the case of WADA, there have been instances where someone says, look, you know, I took this tainted supplement. It's not my fault. And then an arbitration board will typically reduce it to 6 months. And if you think about it, that's very fair.
Yeah.
Because normally that means you make the next season.
Right.
Like, it usually means you're quote-unquote suspended for the off season. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
For a professional athlete to be suspended in the off season, I mean, the NFL pays you per game, you know?
Right, right.
So that's not too bad, but you know, once you get to that level, you're already, you know, you're behind the eight ball, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about this bodybuilding phenom, I want to say, who passed away recently, known as Ziz. Am I pronouncing it right? Ziz?
Let's decide on a way to say his name because I have no idea.
Yeah, let's just, since his name is Aziz, I guess, let's just call him Ziz. Let's do
this. Call him Ziz.
All right. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Anthony Roberts. You can learn more about Anthony by going to his blog, anthonyroberts.info. Great stuff going on there all the time. But this is one story you won't find there, the one we'll be talking about next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
It was a moonlit night.
It was a moonlit
old
night.
Mexico.
In old Mexico.
I walked alone between some old...
I walked alone because I had herpes.
Suddenly...
All right. We're talking today with Anthony Roberts about a lot of good things. Before we get on with the next story, I got to mention a couple things. First of all, Primordial Performance is running a buy one, get one free on all their Andro series products. Go check it out. Go to primordialperformance.com. Also, we have a new peptide manufacturer, and I'm proud to say that they are on board. They are Southern Research Companies. Their website is southernresearchco.com. All of their products are made inside the United States. I demanded COAs from them on every product they have. I promise not to divulge where they're getting them. They are getting them all from labs inside the United States, some very, very big-name labs, too. A very impressive list of offerings they have. We will have banner ads up on the website very shortly. I'm waiting for them to arrive. We are running spots for them now. Show them some love. SouthernResearchCO.com. Check them out. Okay. So, Anthony. When did you first hear of Aziz? And I apologize to the family. I'm going to try to pronounce the last name. It looks like Sergeyevich Shavershan. Okay, Aziz Sergeyevich Shavershan, or just Ziz, on the internet. When did you first hear about him?
You know, honestly, I didn't hear about him until after he passed away.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I'm one of those guys too. Apparently, he had a huge following on the internet. He was dubbed a bodybuilder. I looked at him. I would not call him a bodybuilder. I think that he probably would fit into that new class of bodybuilding competition, which is physique.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great physique. He has what I would consider a beach body. I would not consider him a bodybuilder. You think I'm off base on that one?
Well, he would actually, he said in an interview like that he wasn't a bodybuilder per se.
Good. Okay. All right.
He had like a male model physique.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Easily on par with anyone that you would see in GQ or Calvin Klein ads. Easily.
Bingo. Well, Marky Mark back in the day when he was hanging with the Funky Bunch. So there you
go. That's right.
All right, so, by the way, Marky Mark still has a great physique. Nothing to take away from him.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, let's talk about this. When he first passed away, there were some internet news media outlets that dubbed his passing as a result of either A, anabolic steroids, or B, performance-enhancing supplements, they said, loosely.
Yeah.
Where did that linkage even come from with this kid?
You know, I do think he was a steroid user. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, and you'll see it on, like, bodybuilding.com, now that they don't talk about steroids anymore, it's banned. You're not allowed to talk about steroids on that site.
What word do they use now when they talk about steroids? Bread?
They will talk about riding bicycles.
There you go. I was riding my bicycle yesterday, and I forgot to aspirate. I have a huge lump on my ass now.
No, that's the thing is someone will say, you know, test boosters don't work for me, and someone will say, you know, well, you know, maybe you should just try riding bicycles.
No, so you're being serious, not facetious. That's really what they say.
No, that's really what they say. That's the
code.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much of a code.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, cycling, steroids, you know.
Yeah, right. Gotcha, cycling. I didn't even pick up on that nuance until you.
I actually remember when Don Ross passed away.
Right.
For those who don't know, Don Ross was the guy who passed away who was in charge of MD prior to John Romano taking that position.
Okay.
So a while ago.
Right.
He was always on steroids, right? He never came off. His nickname was Ripper, Don Ripper Ross, right? He was always on steroids.
Okay.
And people would say, why don't you cycle? And as a reference to the sport of, you know, bicycling, he would say cycling is, you know, for people who are trying to get away from something. And, you know, and you'll see it every so often, people reference, you know,
bicycling.
Riding bicycles.
Yeah, okay, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right, so did Ziz have a brother that got busted for steroids or something like that?
Yeah, his brother was busted and fined like $400 or $500. He worked out at a gym that was purportedly natural, but I mean, it was in Thailand. This is where he was from. I guess he was Russian, judging by his name. His family lived in Australia, and at some point he had moved to Thailand.
Does Thailand have any laws governing anabolic steroid use?
I mean, does Thailand have any laws? No, they do. I mean. No, they do, but like anything, you know, you can look at some of the biggest, you know, underground labs that operated there for a decade, you know, and
with complete protection.
Yeah, and actually, I had some friends that were operating, you know, underground labs over there, and I remember there was a military coup, and I contacted the guy, said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "Yeah, no, the military is who I've been bribing. It's the local politicians who are pain in the ass."
Ah.
So, you know, he was like, "No, I'm all set. This is better for me."
Yeah, right.
But it's pretty illegitimate, you know, in terms of the laws and the enforcement.
Corruption is the norm, in other words.
Yeah.
So, okay, so it seems obvious that he was using steroids, you say. And maybe I missed something because we started talking about bodybuilding.com. We kind of got off track with the cycling reference. But so what was obvious about his use? I mean, did he post on that board or something like that?
No. What I was saying was just that he had a blog.
Ah, okay.
I mean, he was pretty entrepreneurial. He had, you know, he had self-published an e-book
about
training and all that stuff.
Okay,
and,
okay.
You know, he had a website and he was, you know, something of a YouTube sensation. Like, he had as many hits on his on his YouTube uploads as, like, you know, muscle and fitness.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, he was doing very well online. You know, he had 85,000 likes on his Facebook fan page,
wow.
Right?
Wow. Holy mackerel.
So, like, consider this. Jay Cutler has more. Arnold has more.
Right.
Okay? I think Dorian has more also.
Okay.
And I think that's the extent of Mr. Olympia winners who have
more than that.
More likes on their athlete page on Facebook.
Wow, that is impressive. Very, very impressive.
It's very impressive. And, it you know, it's tragic that the kid passed. And it always irks me when people make this reference. So, oh, yeah, he was popular online. Or he was an online guy. Okay, like Amazon is online. They're doing okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's stupid when people make that comment.
Well,
where,
now,
you know,
was he while the references to possible anabolic steroid use or performance-enhancing supplement use were out there, then a little bit later after his death, something else surfaced that apparently his mother came forth and said that he had a congenital heart defect, correct?
Well, no. Not congenital, okay? And then that's something that I looked for, whether it was congenital, okay? I think it was the Sydney Morning Herald. I looked to see if it was congenital. It was undiagnosed is actually what they said.
Ah.
So that does leave open the possibility
that it was developed from drug use, maybe.
Well, you know, anabolic steroids do cause hypertrophy of the left ventricle. However, so does lifting weights.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you and I both have read that study. It was from a decade-old study, and powerlifters, both drug-using and non-drug-using, and they all had the same degree of hypertrophy of the heart.
Yeah,
and both subside once they stop lifting. So
now, yeah. You know, so, and that's something I really combed through and looked to see if anywhere it said that it was congenital. The other thing I want to point out is that the Sydney Morning Herald confirmed the coroner's report. So this isn't just his mom saying, no, he, you know, this thing, it wasn't steroids. It's not just his mom coming forward. It was confirmed that, you know, the coroner said this is what, you know, happened. And he died in a sauna.
Yeah, I was going to say he was in a sauna, which is something I actually jokingly call my morning sauna episodes my ticker test. The people in the gym will know that I'll say, well, I just had my ticker test. If I didn't die now, I'm probably safe for the rest of the day because I sit in the sauna at 160 degrees for 30 minutes and then jump into a completely ice-cold shower. I'm talking about just the cold water on to where it makes me gasp for air, my skin turns red, my eyes get bloodshot and injected, and I call that my ticker test because I feel like if I've got it, it's going to happen right then and there.
Yeah. No, that's actually, you know, contrast showers or contrast baths and saunas are great for recovery.
You wrote a blog post about it one time, I remember.
Yes, I did. And you know, one of the unfortunate things here is that Ziz did an interview, and he was a diet guy, right? He was part of that faction who doesn't do cardio. They say, look, man, just keep your diet 100% clean, and, you know, you're not going to get fat. You know, train, keep your diet totally clean, and you're good to go. And he was part of that group where he advocated, you know, no cardio. I think his exact quote was, you know, if your diet is spot on, you don't even need to look at a treadmill.
See, and I was, when you were talking about hypertrophy of the heart a second ago, of the left ventricle, I didn't want to get off track. I almost want to say to you, but Anthony, what's wrong with hypertrophy of the left ventricle? If you're doing some cardiovascular training, if you're spending some, because I remember watching the unbelievable, the Ronnie Coleman video when it first came out, when I, early on in my love for iron. And I remember Ronnie used to get up every morning out of bed, do an hour of cardio watching the news in the morning. And yep. I look at a lot of athletes who clearly should have heart problems because of the drug use, the amount of weight that they lift, and what they do to their bodies, and they're not dropping over. I got to believe that it's the cardio. I got to believe that the cardiovascular exercise, while it may not be necessary for building strength, may be required to keep your heart healthy.
So, right, so I'm thinking that you're giving me the cue to segue. So if you look at strength training and you look at, and this is, you know, another thing in my blog, if you look at strength training and guys who are at risk of, you know, heart problems, it's found that stronger men, as measured by 1RM, you know, bench press and leg press, men who are stronger have a far lower mortality. But men who are stronger and in better cardiovascular shape are in even better condition, i.e. have a further lowered mortality rate over those who are just strong.
Bingo. Bingo. I mean, and I that's a great segue. I wasn't setting you up for that, but that's the
all
next
right.
thing. But that's okay. We're going to talk about that next, but I want to wrap it up on Ziz. So, mm-hmm. in summary, he was in the sauna, he died. Was he kind of like the quasi, I hate to use this term, but, you know, not Euro trash, but was he like out there partying? A lot of times these guys who look like that and they have that role and they talk about this and that and they're out there in the Paris Hiltons of the world, they're partying, they're doing recreational drugs too. Was there any look at whether he had any recreational drugs in his bloodstream?
You know, to my knowledge, they didn't say anything about a tox screen, which
right.
would be fairly standard on a 22-year-old.
Right.
You know, who passes out like that. So if they didn't say anything, and remember, steroids aren't tested for typically in a tox screen.
Right.
But, you know, he was living that lifestyle. He was very well known for going out to clubs. He would, you know, blog about it all the time. He supported himself, I think, primarily as a stripper.
Right.
He had his own line of protein. He did have the e-book. He, very entrepreneurial kid. He was also going to school at the time.
Right.
But I can't help but think that, you know, he's that guy. That,
really,
you know,
burning the candle at both ends. This is a wake-up call, okay? This is a wake-up call to young and old. Those of us who believe that because we train hard and because we are hormonally optimized, that we're actually bulletproof. That, oh man, you know what? I can train. If you're training hard and you're going out and partying at night, you're breaking your body down. I don't care if your muscles are getting bigger.
Yeah, and you know, he really, you know, he was definitely on track to, you know, do something. He hadn't yet parlayed his popularity into sort of, you know, the kind of monetary success that you would think someone that, you know, 85,000 likes, you know.
Right.
I mean, to bring up, you know, for example, Tila Tequila. She was famous because she had the most friends on MySpace.
Right.
You know, so he was getting this level of fame, you know, that was sort of eclipsing even, you know, established, you know, Mr. Olympias.
He was just starting to hit his stride. There's no doubt about it. His star was rising. It's very, very unfortunate when I hear about these kind of things. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything he could have done to change his outcome. He could have had this undiagnosed heart problem, and
yeah.
it could have nothing to do with any of the things they were postulating here. And the loss of a life when it's on the rise is even sadder.
We do know that, you know, had he, you know, done some cardio, he would have been at lower risk. But we don't know. I mean, you know, maybe that was his rope only went to 22, no matter what he did. We don't know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. And on that note, I went into the gym and only did cardio today, then sauna and ice cold shower. So I believe that cardio has to be done. I'm sorry. And I believe that it's done. I believe that it increases the dynamic range of your heart. That's what my belief is. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the stronger men who live the longest. We're talking with Anthony Roberts. You can be smart or smarter than you are right now if you start reading Anthony's blog. Go to anthonyroberts.info. We'll be right back.
Yeah, check it out. Got it when he was six, didn't know any tricks. Matter of fact, first
there are a
time
few products that I believe in, the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to Superhuman Radio. com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, I made this announcement a couple times, but no one's responding, and I'm kind of concerned. Shaker Pro is giving away 18 free Shaker Pro bottles every single month to my audience starting in August. We started this promotion really late in the month. We just launched it last week. Go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win one of 18 Shaker Pro bottles. If you enter once, you're entered for the entire 6 months. So chances are, you got a really good chance of winning a Shaker Pro bottle. This bottle is fantastic. I got to tell you something. It's the best shaker bottle I've ever seen because somebody actually put their brain to what would make a shaker bottle better. And they did it. Go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win one of 18 Shaker Pro bottles given away every single month. Enter once and you have 18 times 6. I'm not good at math, Anthony. I know you're a Mensa guy. What's 18 times 6, Anthony?
A lot.
You have 18 times 6 opportunities to win a Shaker Pro bottle. So come on. Get with the program. All right. The strongest men live the longest. We actually did a show on a study that probably about 3 years ago. Talking about this specifically.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a weird clicking noise.
No, yeah, I actually had to cough. I have a cough button here, and right as I was talking, I had to cough. We actually did a show about 3 years ago where we discussed a study that showed they followed men over the period of, I want to say it was almost 20 years, from the point when they were 50 years old to the point of death, or then some. And they did one rep maximum leg press, leg extension, and they registered that. And they checked back with these guys like every few years. And what they found out was, you know, epidemiological studies aren't perfect, but what they came away with was the men who had the greatest strength at the beginning, middle, and end were still alive. And the men who had the greatest strength lived the longest.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting to note that, you know, not only that, but there was a study that examined sedentary sort of desk workers versus, like, manual laborers. And we kind of think of the, you know, the job of, you know, doing some form of manual labor as, you know, sort of a grueling existence. But they found that manual laborers actually lived longer than, you know, office workers.
Right.
And another really, really interesting study that I wish I had found, but I found it on Ergolog.
Right.
Was that sculptors live longer than painters.
And sculptors work with heavier things.
Yeah, and it was really interesting because they looked at, like, you know, Da Vinci and Michelangelo and all these guys, you know, from back then. And, yeah, they found that the guys who, and it was like 3 years longer. I mean, that's very significant.
Right, right. So the guys who were, you know, working with medias that are heavier lived longer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where a new study was just reviewed in the Times today, the New York Times. It said, I think it's 15 minutes of training per day will increase your lifespan by 3 years.
I saw that, but what are they? But they, when I saw that this morning on CNN while I was on the elliptical machine, I only caught the teaser, and they showed fat people going up an escalator. And they talked about 15 minutes a day could be all that you need to, you know, change your outcome or something like that of exercise, they were saying. And I'm thinking they're talking about 15 minutes of cardio a day.
It was 15 minutes of exercise, and it basically, you know, it was a government, from what I understand, it was a government study. And they found that, you know, 15 minutes was improved life expectancy by 3 years, which is tremendous.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of those things where it's very odd, and I've said this before, is that the sports science and exercise science is more properly thought of as the history of exercise.
Right.
Or the history of, you know, training, because
right.
These guys said, you know, hey, we know that people who train live longer.
Right, so let's prove it now in a study.
so let's put it down on paper. I mean, that's what you see a lot of times from these studies. Like, I mean, it's an observation. It's something that, you know, everyone in our community knows.
Right.
You know.
But you know what I find startling. On a recent Casual Friday episode, Elisa did a story about the Mayo Clinic finally recognizes skinny fat, but they didn't want to call it skinny fat, so they call it normal weight obesity. These are people who are within their BMI but have all the markers for metabolic syndrome because they're made up of more fat. And when I read the article by the Mayo Clinic, I actually became a little enraged, and Elisa couldn't understand why. And actually, I think in retrospect that I became so aggravated and I became so verbal about it, and she probably was thinking, gee, you know, why are you getting yourself all wound up about this? But my frustration is that the medical orthodoxy will never, because they're going to have to. But for some reason, they refuse to recognize the importance of muscle. They refuse to recognize the importance that muscle plays in staving off metabolic disorder and increasing life. Dr. Scott Connolly once said on my show years ago that building muscle is the one chance that we have at longevity. And he was right. But yet the medical orthodoxy will do everything they can to tap dance around it. In the article, they, instead of saying anything about the ratios of lean body mass to fat mass, they simply said the goal should be to rid the body of as much fat as possible. It's like, no, that's not the goal. Because if you keep chasing fat, you keep losing muscle as well. The goal has to be to repartition, a term that we've embraced in our society for a decade now. Repartitioning, changing the ratio of fat to lean. That's the answer. But the
if you look at the sort of the progression of the medical orthodoxy, they're getting better, at least in terms of, you know, at first it was, you know, if you weigh this, you know, you're overweight. Then it was, no. If you have a BMI of this, you know, then there's a problem. And it's, I think, you know, the tide is slowly turning to where they're going to ultimately have to say, no, it's just, it's how fat or how muscular you are. And you know what? Go out and find me a really fat 100-year-old.
Right.
Go find me a 400-pound dude who lives to 100. You will never find it. I mean,
right.
That's just, I don't think there's ever been such a thing.
Right.
And so, you know, work your way backwards from there. Just say, all right, well, we got to figure out, you know, what it is. And it's clearly, it's like you said, it's the fat-to-muscle ratio.
When you see that, who's the guy that had the bypass surgery, the black...
Al Roker?
Yeah. When Al Roker does the Smucker's 100, everybody who's lived to 100 years old, those, now naturally you only see their faces, okay? But there isn't, but you can see in their faces that these people are lean and sinewy. There's you never see a big, round, puffy-faced person living to 100. There's no fat people living to 100. It's always somebody who's clearly lean. You can see like the veins in their neck, you know what I mean? It's like this person is clearly lean.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's one of those things where I do find it funny that they would have a guy who you know, couldn't, you know, get in shape himself.
Yeah.
You know, and essentially looks like Star Jones.
Right, right.
Who also had the same surgery.
Right.
Like, you have these people that couldn't get in shape, and, you know, they're out there promoting this, you know, this thing that they couldn't do.
Yeah, that they won't be able to do. Let's go back to the study for a second. So, in summary, the men who were the strongest in this particular study.
Yes.
They had the greatest longevity, but the men who were the strongest and cardiovascularly conditioned had even greater longevity.
Yeah, there was a very high correlation between that. So it's good to be strong, but it's better to also be strong and, you know, be aerobically fit.
Now, in the blog post, you also referenced hypertension. What did hypertension have to do with any of it?
Well, these guys were at risk. The population that they looked at were already at risk.
So what you're saying is that the correlation between hypertension and longevity was actually disconnected by this study.
If you factor in that these guys were strong, yeah. So, you know, it's protective. I mean, I would say that if you, and this is speculation, but I think ultimately we're gonna see the research done. I would say if you take people who are at risk of something, anything, and you were to look at, you know, their strength and their cardiovascular fitness and all that, and usually that's an indicator of training. If you were to look at them and measure those parameters, almost any disease over, you know, a long enough timeline, you're going to see that the more fit, more strong people live longer.
Right.
With probably any condition.
Well, I blood pressure has confounded me for the better part of a decade now, for so many reasons. Number one, the way we take blood pressure with the cuff is ambiguous, because if I hold my arm down at my side, if I hold my arm at a 45-degree angle or a 90-degree angle to my body, I get three totally different readings, and two of those readings would make me pre-hypertensive.
Right.
Number two, so that means that if the doctor that takes your blood pressure is really short and you're sitting up on that bench and your arm is angled down 30, 40 degrees, you're probably going to be pre-hypertensive. If he got up on a chair and he held your arm at the level of your heart, which is where it's supposed to be when they check it, you'll find that you have normal blood pressure. Okay, so that's the first thing that bugs the heck out of me, number one. Number two, this notion that high blood pressure in a vacuum is damaging to the body is akin to saying a Chevy Vega has an oil pressure of 42 pounds per square inch. And a funny car has an oil pressure of 1,000 pounds a square inch. So theoretically, the funny car is not as durable as the Vega, and we know where the Vega is today. So,
right.
You know, I have a feeling that if you have high blood pressure that is idiopathic, something happens to you, and all of a sudden your blood pressure starts to spike over the course of a year or so, chances are the infrastructure is not developed to handle that blood pressure. Aneurysms and lots of other things can happen. But if your blood pressure is the result of a decade of heavy training and the walls of your arteries are thicker and more flexible, because let's face it, Valsalva brings blood pressure up to ridiculous numbers. I mean, 400 over 700.
Yeah, I mean, it's three or four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm squatting, when I'm leg pressing, when I'm deadlifting, if I have an aneurysm, chances are there's going to be blood running out of my ear about that moment, because my blood pressure is probably 400 over 700 at that moment. So the point being, I got a feeling that if my blood pressure runs a little high, it's because my heart and stroke are a little stronger than the average guy, but also the plumbing has upgraded as well. That's just my opinion.
No, I'll take it a step further. I've seen someone take their blood pressure, a professional, a nurse, take someone's blood pressure and say, this is a little bit high, and then take it on the other arm and get a different reading.
Right.
I've seen the same arm position, just different arms. Now, and she did it like it was an accepted thing to do. Like, no, that's high. Let me get another reading, and went to the other arm. Now, it can't be that your blood pressure is different in different arms. You know,
well, unless you have a vascular issue, if you have a blockage in, let's say, an arm, I mean.
Oh yeah, barring anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things where it is, you know, inaccurate. And like you said, what do you think? A great example is, do you know AJ Roberts, the powerlifter?
I've heard of him. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Writes for Muscle Insider.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Everyone can go friend him on Facebook. I think his profile picture is him squatting with blood running out of his nose.
Right.
And, you know, that's obviously, you know, his blood pressure has spiked and all that. But, you know, you have to look at something like that and say, this guy's got, you know, the internal plumbing to handle that.
Exactly.
And handle, you know, 1,000 pounds on his back or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. And that's the result of decades of training, not an idiopathic rise in blood pressure due to, you know, something failing. And once again, we come back full circle. If you
he didn't get under 1,000 pounds and just say, hey, let me give this a whirl. I mean, that was...
As his muscles upgraded, his bones upgraded. As his bones upgraded, his vasculature upgraded. Everything in the body upgrades to handle it. And this is why I come back to this nonsense. My blood pressure runs about 146 over 82, 84. And when I go get my blood pressure tested, I always hear, you know, you better watch that. And I don't worry about it because I know if due to Valsalva,
right.
The way I train, these guys don't know how high my blood pressure really gets. They have no clue. And if I had something wrong with me, like my ticker test, that's my plumbing test. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen just around that moment right there.
Yeah, I actually own a blood pressure cuff.
Yeah, so do I.
I mean, it was maybe $40.
With the stethoscope. You listen just with yourself.
No, I have an electronic one.
I haven't got one. I still have the one with the stethoscope. I like to listen to my heartbeat. I like to listen to my
I have the one. Well, this one, you know, gives me my heart rate, and it was like $40 at CVS.
Yeah.
And like I have all the fun toys, you know, like all the stupid stuff for figuring out where I am physically.
I got one you don't have. I just bought it.
What's that?
The new in-home A1C test.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm past the glucometer now. I bought an in-home A1C test. It gives you a 3-month snapshot of your insulin levels.
Yeah, I do have. I have the glucometer and the USB connection. You know what's interesting is what they have is now a new test that can measure reliably, and this is in my blog too. It can reliably measure fatigue, so no more. Oh, what was your heart rate, or what's your heart rate when you wake up, or that stupidity?
Are you talking about the saliva test?
Yes.
Yeah. Rick Green got in touch with you, right?
Yes.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah, so, we actually did a show about it about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's and, you know, it's a home thing. You can, you know, spit in a test tube and send it off. I think that's one of the, you know, I read the patent, and I've read the abstract, and I have to see the actual study when it comes out in aerospace, but it's amazing, you know. It's one of those things where I mean, rate of perceived exertion sucks.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break.
Yep.
And then I want to come back. We have a couple more topics I want to cover here. We're talking with Anthony Roberts. As you can see, Anthony has lots of lively topics. You can learn more about them by going to anthonyroberts.info. We'll be right back.
Слабонервных беременных и детей просим удалиться из зала. Остальным лечь на пол и задержать дыхание.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The Isolator will change the way you work out forever. We've all imagined how it would be if there was an apparatus that would eliminate the hands, forearms, biceps, and triceps from training chest, back, and shoulder muscles. Well, now you can with the Isolator. The Isolator does exactly what it says. It allows you to isolate muscles to get a better, more intense workout. And they're so versatile, they work with machines or free weights. You have to see the Isolator to believe it. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Isolator Fitness banner ad today. The Isolator, the only way to train.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're going to be adding a new product to the lineup. I want to tell you about it now. Mike Mahler is now offering Power Shot, which is an elite performance pre-workout supplement that does not have any stims in it whatsoever. I used it, and I really like it. It was formulated by Mark Philippi, who has been on the show a few times. And we'll be running spots for it very shortly, but in the meantime, you can go to Mike Mahler, MAHLER.com, and learn more about Power Shot. So check that out. Back with Anthony Roberts. All right, Anthony, let's talk about something else that's on your blog. Nitric oxide. Good, I'm sorry. Nitric oxide production. We've talked about this. We've had David Barr on the show. telling us it doesn't work and blah. You know, so many people have come back and forth. It does work. Professor Dr. Andrew has been on the show talking about some benefits of nitric oxide, but not necessarily sports enhancement. What's your take on it all?
Well, in terms of some benefits from, you know, nitric oxide, I think that's overstated. I mean, in terms of people talk about it for vasodilation, and it's really not it's not that important for vasodilation. You know, and there's some research that shows that, and but NO2 platinum specifically, okay, it's arginine alpha ketoglutarate.
Right, AKJ or whatever, KG or something, right.
Yeah. And basically a study was done, you know, where they looked at it and tried to figure out if it increased blood flow or, you know, nitric oxide or whatever. And what they found was it just basically doesn't increase nitric oxide and it doesn't increase blood flow. I mean, it's been out there for years. And the stuff just doesn't work. And, you know, it always kind of shocks me. I mean, I don't think nitric oxide is, I don't want to say that important because obviously it's important, but I don't think excess levels will do what people think they will. But it's always shocking when the product doesn't even give you the excess level. That, you know, because it's one
thing to say, look, this does not do what it's supposed to. It's another thing for it to not even have the results that you're looking for that doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, like, for example, creatine ethyl ester. You know, was found to be far less effective, you know, than creatine monohydrate, right? But you know, it did produce some results. But imagine if it didn't, you know, raise creatine levels at all.
Right.
You know, it didn't do anything. Like, people got, you know, less, you know, or no gains or the same as placebo. I mean, that's totally different, you know, where you think you're getting at least something. And you're not. So it's not only that you're not getting the speculative effects of, you know, nitric oxide, you're not getting the nitric oxide.
Right.
So even if you think, you know, this will lead to this other thing, you know, you're not getting the first thing. So it's really shoddy, and, you know, they haven't done anything. They keep supplements on the market.
Wow. So does it not have the ingredient that it says it's supposed to have, or?
No, it's got the ingredient.
But it still doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
It just doesn't do, you know, it doesn't boost those levels, you know. And one of the problems is that arginine, there seems to be some sort of limiting, it's called the arginine paradox.
Right.
And it leads to, it's a precursor of nitric oxide, but when you take additional arginine, you end up getting additional arginine. You boost
arginine
levels in your blood.
You know, here's what I don't understand. If people want to increase nitric oxide production, why not just take a PDE5 inhibitor like Cialis? Doesn't that, in effect, I mean, Cialis doesn't just work on the penis. It works on the whole body. That's why people who have valve issues in their heart can't take it, because the increase in nitric oxide makes the valve not work right.
You know, and the thing is, nitric oxide plays what's called a non-obligatory role in, you know, the blood flow or whatever you want to say, hyperemia. So, I mean, it's one of those where even if you increase the nitric oxide, you take, you know, a bunch of Cialis or whatever, I think it's pretty unlikely to do much. There's been some research that shows some kind of very mild sort of irrelevant ergogenic effect.
Right.
And I mean really irrelevant. But here's the thing. If you look at all the studies, right, if this stuff were doing something anabolic, you would see weight gain listed as a side effect. You know, you would see in the studies, right, the numerous studies that have been done, you would see those, you know, not taking placebo, those taking Cialis experienced a 1 kg weight gain or a half kg or something.
Good. That's a good point.
You don't see that in any of the studies. So if it's anabolic in and of itself, you should see that. You know, you should see it listed weight gain. You see weight gain listed for Prozac, right? I mean, people notice they gain weight on Prozac.
Well, what about this, Bud? Not necessarily anabolic, but let's say complementary to anabolic. And what I mean by that is, do you believe that stretching the fascia of the muscle can have an increased uptake in fluid into muscle fibers?
All right. I believe that stretching can produce additional IGF. I don't think that stretching the connective sheath around the muscle to, quote, give it more room to grow is a valid idea. And you know, if you look at the research, you know, I think that really, you know, it's not supported that the stretching of the fascia or whatever right. is the thing that causes growth. It's
okay,
probably
so
the IGF production.
I can believe what you're saying. I point at the Katsu method. You know what the Katsu method is, right? The cuff, the blood pressure cuff, and then they did the curls and the leg.
Yep.
Now they did find that aside from just muscular congestion, that there was an increase in growth factors in the muscle. So what you're saying is it's not the mechanical effect of blowing the muscle up with greater pressure that's causing the muscle growth. You're saying that it's the mechanical effect of blowing the muscle up that's causing an increase in growth factors that's making the muscle grow.
Yes, I would say that that's accurate. And I would say, you know, again, it's, oh, you know, if you stretch the muscle, how big are ballet dancers? Are they huge?
Well, wait a minute. We're not talking about that kind of stretching. What I mean is like the pump. Like if you train your arm.
Stretching it through hyperemia, through increased blood flow?
Yeah,
not,
the congestion. Congestion in the muscle. The muscle,
well,
the blood.
Because there are, you know, those who say that the actual stretching, and I'll say John Perillo.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
The stretching of the muscle causes.
There is some evidence that stretching under a load,
yes,
can increase satellite cell.
Again, though, that we're talking about the
growth factors.
Growth factors, yeah. We're not talking about the you stretch the fascia and you get it, like, creates room for the muscle to grow into.
Right. It's not like creating room. It's actually the stretching action creates a greater degree of growth factors to be released. So we come back to the same thing regardless, whether we're talking about increasing the pump by congesting blood into it, like with the Katsu method, or stretching the linearly stretching the muscle, all of these result in an increase in growth factor production.
Well, so here's a question, right? If you and I were to sit down with a pile of strength training textbooks that are used by all of the accredited strength training organizations,
right.
The NSCA, the ASCM, whatever.
Right.
And we looked under hypertrophy. Would we find increased blood flow or, you know, blood over-circulation or hyperemia? Would we find that under hypertrophy? Would we find any organization that says, you know, that's a valid pathway to hypertrophy? And you know, the answer is no. It's not mentioned in any of them. And in fact, if you look at it's by Zatsiorsky and it's Science and Practice of Strength Training, he basically says, look, you know, 20, 30 years ago, people did talk about that, the pump, blah, 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 but it's been more or less widely, you know, like disregarded and disproven in strength training, you know, for decades.
Right.
And you don't see it in any textbooks. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where I just don't see it. I just don't see the foundation. And what I'd like to sort of add as sort of a corollary is that this was all part of the decline of, you know, bodybuilding as a sort of relevant and valid sort of pursuit for strength coaching. And what I mean by that is if you look at Alan Roy, I think his name was Alan Roy from the San Diego Chargers, the first strength coach in the NFL.
Right.
Okay. His credentials were that he was a champion bodybuilder. Okay, 1969, so it's a different time back then.
Right, right.
He he came along and said, look, I'm a champion bodybuilder. I should be training your guys, you know, in the weight room. Imagine going to, like, the San Diego Chargers and being like, dude, I'm a bodybuilder. I won some state titles. I should be your strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen to
them. They'd laugh you off the field. Like,
right.
They, you know, security, get in here.
Right.
They would kick you out. And the problem is this. Bodybuilding, except for Arthur Jones, who definitely did some important work, bodybuilding hasn't really gone anywhere in terms of advancing, you know, the science. And that's, I think, part of the downfall. It's just, other than Arthur Jones, think of another training paradigm that came, you know, from bodybuilding that's widely used and been widely proven.
Right.
There was a downfall sort of, I think, you know, pretty much right after strength and conditioning started getting important for sports teams, you know, you saw a move away from bodybuilding, and bodybuilding became kind of its own, whatever you want to call it now.
Yeah, cult. How about that?
Yeah.
I want to take a break and come back and cover our last story, which is post-workout nutrition, which is another interesting article that you have on your blog. But before I do that, I want to mention that Dr. Peter Rouse posted, he's listening live, he said, in case you haven't heard, they have a vaccine for high blood pressure now, no kidding. And he posted the article up on my board, and a group in China have identified the linkage between the development of high blood pressure and a virus called cytomegalovirus, and they now feel that they can come up with a vaccine to protect people against high blood pressure. But again, this is unhealthy high blood pressure we're talking about anyway. This is not high blood pressure because you've upgraded the plumbing and the pump and the working parts, which is what we have in our industry here, those of us who do suffer from mildly elevated resting blood pressure. But I thought that was funny. A vaccine for high blood pressure, Anthony.
It's amazing. If it's valid, if it works out, you know.
Yeah, it never works out. Let's be honest.
No.
Let's be honest. All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to address some post-workout nutrition with Anthony Roberts. Go to his blog. You don't have to wait for us to come back. It is anthonyroberts.info. We'll be right back.
Baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Creatine is by far the most popular ergogenic supplement on the market today, bar none. What if I told you that there's an even more effective way to build explosive strength and that good old creatine was not the answer? Well, now there's Hypergain. Hypergain is completely safe and has zero side effects. In fact, AS Research is so convinced that Hypergain will change the way you feel about creatine that they're willing to give you a free 30-day supply just to prove it. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Hypergain banner ad today. Hypergain.
The case against creatine starts now. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, during the whole show, actually the first person I ever did an entire show with. Back in the day when I first started doing the show, I used to split the 1 hour up between two guests. Anthony Roberts was the first guest to have the whole show as the entire guest, the only guest. Remember that?
Yeah, all to myself.
Yeah, and here we go again.
Yeah.
Doing it again. Anyway, history repeats itself. We're talking with Anthony Roberts. His blog is anthonyroberts.info. Great blog. So, Anthony, on your blog, you have a little story about post-workout nutrition. For those people who believe that post-workout nutrition requires carbohydrates, what would you say?
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? So they did a study on looking at IGF post-exercise. And they had two groups. And one group, well, you know, they had three, but we know what happened with the placebo, right? The two groups were carbohydrate only, so a carb drink, and then a group that got EAA, essential amino acid, plus carbohydrate. And they took a look at what happened with IGF. And the interesting thing is that growth hormone was elevated in, you know, all of the groups. Because, again, we're looking at post-workout, right? So to bring it back to our first, very first topic,
right?
You work out, your growth hormone goes up. Then what happens? Your IGF goes up.
Right.
Okay. But the significant increases in free IGF were only in the group that received both the essential amino acid and the carbohydrate. So it's very interesting because, you know, where do we go with that? I mean, it would appear that even though you're getting this increase in growth hormone after a workout, unless you're taking, you know, essential aminos, if you're, you know, versus only taking carbs, you're not going to get that IGF conversion, which is very strange.
Can you extrapolate from this study that the EAAs taken by themselves would have the same effect, and you can actually avoid carbohydrate?
You know, EAAs do, you know, have a blood sugar effect because they are so rapidly absorbed.
Right.
So I think, you know, not this study in a vacuum, I wouldn't be confident saying that, but knowing what we know about EAAs, I would say it's not a, you know, it's a very small leap to say, all right, you know, this is the thing. This also will help with, you know, with moving your blood sugar and could probably be used alone. And many people do use it alone. And a lot of the intra, you know, workout products, which is sort of a new category. But a lot of the intra workout products are EAA based.
Right. I mean, I to this day don't use post workout carbohydrates, and I haven't used them in several years. I did back in the day when I was training for like a power lifter, I used to always have my 80 grams of dextrose with my 40 grams of whey protein and my scoop of creatine. And but today I just have 50 to 75 grams of high quality whey protein with some BCAAs in it, and that's it.
I have cottage cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good choice. It's got whey, it's got casein.
Yeah, and it's to be honest, I'm not great with post workout nutrition. Like after I train, I'm sick to my stomach. Like I don't want to eat.
Really? You train? Yeah. Is it because you train that hard, or you think it's just your personal response to the training?
Well, I do. You know, at the end of my workout, I usually do a lot of I'll say HIIT. That's not what I do, but that would be the best way to explain it. Like the end of my workout might be, you know, interval training or something for 20 minutes.
Interval like on a treadmill or on elliptical or?
You know, I can't really do intervals on a treadmill because, like, let's say, even if I was going to do a Tabata protocol, when you try and speed it up to a 20-minute sprint, you lose like 7 or 8 seconds every time.
Right, right. Got to wait for it to catch up to you, right.
Right. So in general, if people are going to do something like a Tabata protocol, and you can't do it on really any of the machines other than a Concept 2 rowing machine. Because you just go as fast as you go or as slow as you go.
The elliptical machines, when I do interval training on an elliptical machine and I try to blast off, it'll give me it'll give me my head for maybe 15 seconds, and then all of a sudden it starts to dampen the mechanism and it tries to slow me down. I guess it's trying to protect itself.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't really do, like if I were going to do, let's say one of my workouts might be, you know, as quote cardio after I've weight trained, might be 20 minutes of rowing with a 100-meter sprint on every minute.
Right.
Now let's say that's one of my, you know, one of my sessions. You can't really do that when you lose all those seconds on a treadmill or on a step mill or on a Stairmaster or elliptical, you know?
Right.
So the rowing machine's really the only option.
Right.
But I do get, you know, a little bit nauseous, and I'm the guy like rolling off the machine at the end, like I'm not, you know, I'm sitting there for a while. So yeah, it's probably, just that I get myself pretty sick when
you train CrossFit style, don't you?
I'm certified as a CrossFit instructor. I wouldn't say I train CrossFit style. Like I don't do any of the, main site workouts or the, prescribed, whatever girl workouts or hero workouts or
right,
you know, so I don't follow any of their workouts, but you know, a lot of the stuff that I do, if someone were to see it, especially the, you know, the end portions, would say, oh, that fits in well with the CrossFit methodology.
Well, do you train body parts or do you go in and do a whole body when you're training?
No, I haven't trained body parts in like decade.
Okay, so give me so in that case you're doing whole body, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you go to the gym today?
I did.
Okay. So, give me a snapshot. What did you do today?
Today was 5 sets of 5 on the incline.
Okay.
Okay, and you know, I do a warm. Today was the middle of the week, so I've already trained for 2 days, weight trained.
Right.
So today was 5 sets of 5 on the incline. It was the warm up was, you know, elliptical for 10 minutes and then some band work,
for your shoulders.
Stretching.
For your shoulders, band work for your shoulders?
For everything.
Okay.
I'll do like X-band walks and stuff like that. And so I did my 5 sets of 5 on the incline. And then I did the workout I told you about, the 100 meters on every minute.
Right.
And then it was all foam rolling, stretching, barefoot jump rope, like just to, you know, help with my my hips and my knees and
right.
ankles. So a lot of today's workout and a lot of what I do now at the age of 33 is stuff to, you know, to keep me sort of on the field rather than on the sideline, you know.
Now, so now what did you do?
Oh, and I did Tabata shoulder presses. I'm sorry.
Now, what is it? Tabata is 30 seconds.
20 on, 10 off.
20 on, 10 off.
Presses.
You're doing shoulder presses for 20 seconds. How do you rest for 10 seconds with a Tabata shoulder press? You drop them or you just keep them at your shoulders?
I do it in a squat rack, and I rack them.
Oh, cool.
And I keep my hands on it, because if you take your hands off, you know how you sort of, you know, you have to get your hands sort of perfectly.
Right, right.
you know, distance, you know, especially, I don't know how
especially
other people
do it. If you're OCD like me, I have like a whole friggin'.
Dude, I have a whole thing like the crease in my thumb goes like at the end of the knurling and all this idiocy. So like, if I let go, like it, I can't even do it in 10 seconds. So I figured out after trial and error that if I'm going to do Tabata shoulder presses, I am going to have to, you know, have keep my hands on the bar and rack it, and then just step out every time I'm ready to hit the 20 seconds.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. I'm happy to hear this. Someone, I have the like the whole OCD thing. The thing I think sometimes even the song that I'm listening to for a certain movement that I have to listen to over and over again while I do that movement.
Oh no! Like if I, and especially like sometimes I'll do Tabata hang cleans, and I'll rack them in the bottom portion of a safety squat rack.
Right.
Or the, you know, the step shape, the death rack we call it.
Right.
I'll leave it on the bottom portion of that, and I have to keep my hands on it because if I move one, then I'm sitting there trying to line up like weird, you know, like this line on my thumb goes at this part of the knurling, like so, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So what did you train yesterday? I'm just curious. You know what, Anthony? You and I have never talked about how you train, and I know that you train hard.
Yesterday was like posterior chain.
Okay.
So, stiff leg deadlifts, good mornings. I really got into concentric only good mornings.
I've heard it. Okay, so concentric means you start out at the bottom and just come up, right?
Yeah, you put the pins. I use the cambered bar.
Right.
And, you know, you put the pins wherever it would be that you're in the exact bottom position of a good morning. You put weight on, and then you just sort of, you just explode out of the bottom like it's all, you know, lower back. But, and I'll tell you that the first time I ever did it was at some, like, hole-in-the-wall gym with Tony Gentilcore and Eric Cressy.
Right.
And, like, I probably outweighed them, like, either of them by probably, like, 15 pounds or something.
Right.
And they had this, it was the cambered bar hanging from chains at the top of the squat rack.
Right.
And I got there, they're like, we're doing concentric only good mornings. Now, at the time, I'd only gone up to whatever weight.
Right.
And, like, I'd never even seen anyone do that much weight in my gym.
Right.
Dude, these guys went up to, like, 465 for doubles or something.
Really? But how do you do a concentric? You do it, and then you let the come down and go up again, or you do
you
it?
You come
and
down and you let the bar rest at the very bottom, like it's at a full stop.
Ah.
And these guys, like, I didn't even know what to say.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, but in all fairness, they had been working up to that. You never did that before.
No, I'd never done it, but it was still. And here's the thing: when I did them with these guys, and this is kind of a. This is the lesson I learned that day, other than, like, I'm weak or whatever. The lesson I learned was about atmosphere, actually, because I think I went up to 365.
Right.
For concentric only.
Right.
Previously, I'd been doing good mornings with 225, like, for sets, and no one at my gym could do that, or I hadn't seen anyone do it.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm doing well over 100 pounds more, starting from a dead stop, not because I didn't get stronger when I walked in the door of that gym. I just hadn't pushed myself to that point.
The environment, for lack of better, I'm not, you know, raised the bar for you, so to speak, but I can understand that.
I had a goal, too, right? Like, then I was coaching at the military academy. I had a goal. I was like, all right. You know, 465 on a concentric good morning is my goal. So, you know, I moved from 365 to 405 pretty quickly. And, you know, starting from a dead stop, that's difficult.
Well, I was just going to say, I've often thought about doing them. I saw them first done up
Well, you're a strong deadlifter, too, so they might be right up your alley.
Yeah, but here's the thing about them. I first saw them performed up at Louis Simmons's facility up in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guys up there that, you know, they got 7-8 plates and they're doing them and on each side. And I thought, you know, this is something I'd like to try. I actually put 135 on the bar. It was very simple. I put 225 on the bar, and I found that For my kinesiology, if I start at the top and come down with it and then go back up, I'm fine. But I don't know if this makes sense, but if I'm starting at the bottom...
Well, you're getting a stretching phase, though. That makes... That's why when basketball players go to, you know, slam the ball, they dip and then go up, you know? You're getting a stretch lengthening.
Yeah, you know? And right, exactly. So you're preloading. I call it preloading. But what happens with me is more... is more skeletal. I kind of feel like I'm out of my groove when I start at the bottom. I feel like my lower back is not locked in properly, and I'm afraid to go heavier because I feel like as though I may actually blow something out of my back.
Where you are, you know, from what I've seen with deadlifts, you know, you should be aiming to do, you know, Cressy type weights on that exercise or whatever. I don't know what he's up to now, but like, you should be doing that, you know, once you get sort of the technique down. I mean, it's...
The other thing that I was concerned with is this.
Like, you're a deadlift guy, right?
Yeah, I love the deadlift. It's my favorite thing to do. In fact, I when I go to the gym to deadlift, I'm always the proudest because I can really lift heavy
weight. You know, the only thing I don't like about it is, like, there's no satisfaction in missing a deadlift. Like, if you get crushed by a squat or a bench, like, and your spotters take it or you just drop it on the rack... That's one thing. If you get crushed by a deadlift, you stand there like a dick and then walk away.
Hey, well, no. Listen, I've missed some heavy deadlifts. I get really lightheaded afterwards because I got all like revved up for it and it was unfulfilled. I've actually missed deadlifts where, like you said, I've gotten the bar maybe 4 inches off the ground, had to let it go, and I had to stand up and brace myself because I felt like I was just going to collapse.
I missed a deadlift the other week. It was probably like 2 months ago. I missed one like a few months ago. That didn't move.
Right.
And it was, you know, there was a room full of people and sort of, I was the only guy lifting in that, like, on the platform. So, like, I made it on the second attempt, but I wouldn't have even taken the second attempt had it not been a room full of people and had I not looked like such a tremendous dick.
Oh, man.
It was just embarrassing. Like, I walked up to the bar and I just, you could see I was trying to, it looked like I was trying to roll it, you know, away from me. It didn't go anywhere. It might have gone further down. I don't even know. I don't know what was going on, but it was just devastating, and you know.
But you got it the second time, and that's
I got
happens.
It on the second try, but like I said, it was such a brutal failure.
Right.
Like it defined failure in terms of how bad you can fail at a deadlift, that had I been alone, I would have been like, that's way too heavy for me. I can't even try and go back to that.
And we can close on this, too. I have to tell you a funny story. The first time I ever spotted at a powerlifting competition. So they told me how to spot for the bench press, you know, have your hands hover around the outside of the bar. Don't touch the bar. Go down and up with your legs. Don't go down and up with your back, because if you lose it, you got to, you know, be able to lift it up. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. I got that. Same thing with the squat. We didn't have one of those squat machines.
Monolift.
Yeah, we didn't have a monolift. The guy walked the bar out. Everybody, you know, one guy stood behind them. I stood on one side of the bar. Somebody else stood. Same thing. So then it comes up for the pull event, and I go up to the guy who's running the event.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I says to him, I says, and I'm like, I'm contemplating. I'm going, I says, look, how do we spot him for the deadlift? He looked at me, goes, No, he just lets the bar go if he can't lift it. I was like, I felt like such an idiot. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. Let me go. I got to walk away. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a humbling exercise in a lot of ways, especially when you try and spot someone for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to try eccentric only, right? Eccentric only.
Concentric.
Concentric only, right?
I think you'll be surprised once you get the form down. Like
I got to get the form down. And the other thing is, if you explode up, aren't you afraid that you're just going to throw the bar off your back?
You know, I place it pretty far. I do real like powerlifting style squats, so I have it pretty far down on my back anyway.
Yeah, me too. I have to because I'm
but
long.
But believe me, when you have four plates on, and you know, we talk about being explosive, and that's a lot for me. I mean, I'm probably weighing in 185 right now.
Right.
Like if I have four plates on and I'm doing a set with 405, we talk about being explosive. That's pretty relative because the bar probably, you know, takes like 5 seconds to get to the top.
Yeah, exactly. I gotcha. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Anthony.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
All right, well, listen, visit Anthony's blog today, anthonyroberts.info. Always great information there. Anthony, we'll have you back on the show soon, okay?
Great.
All right, thank you. And we have we have a couple really important shows for you tomorrow, so you're going to listen to Superhuman Radio tomorrow. We'll see you then.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon.